the difference in my life. Brother Milam. Out of that, amen. I bless his name for his word today. What a blessing it is to know God hears us, amen. He ought to turn a deaf ear and throw us into hell, but he doesn't because of his mercy and his grace, amen. And I praise him for that today. Look in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel this morning, the book of Ezekiel chapter number 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to read several verses down through at least verse number 14, and then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. And I am thankful for the presence of the Lord in this place. I thank God for that today. Ezekiel 37, you will and able stand this morning. And we'll read several verses now. Very often when we come to this text, we hear preaching that is really an application to the text. You have messages about revival that you hear out of Ezekiel 37. And as far as application, that's good, that's fine. But I'm going to look at the context and do the interpretation this morning of what's being said in these verses. And so we want to try the mind of the Lord today. Ezekiel chapter 37 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay some news upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, the flesh that came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the good songs of Zion that we have heard in this place and how they have ministered our heart. I pray now for a little while you'll strengthen my voice and my body. I give unction of the Holy Ghost that I might preach the preaching that you bid us today. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that it's forever settled in heaven. I pray for that soul that's lost in this place today or watching by internet. I pray the Spirit of God would convict them and draw them to the place of repentance and salvation. And everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse number 10 for just a moment here, where I want to bring our thought from, where the Bible said in verse 10, in verse number 10, verse 11, then he said unto me, "I, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Oh, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord helping me, out of this text of scripture on this subject of Israel, God's prophetic clock. Israel, God's prophetic clock. Now again, most time when you hear this text, it is in a revival theme, and nothing wrong with that. But I will look at its interpretation today, what God has said concerning the nation of Israel. Now you know as well as I do, in the last 2 weeks, been a lot happening concerning the nation of Israel. We found Kerry making comments 2 weeks ago, and then the UN makes this resolution. And I will say this publicly in this church and by internet, I still stand with the nation of Israel. It don't matter what somebody that's changed their mind has done, but this Bible is clear in Genesis 12. I'll bless them that bless Israel, and I'll curse them that curse her. And I'll tell you, I like being blessed instead of being cursed. Amen. I don't have time for Jewish jokes. I don't have time for anybody that would knock the nation of Israel. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, the Bible said that Israel is the apple of God's eye. It is as though if you go against them, you are poking God in the eye by touching the nation of Israel. Amen. And so we find some things in this text that I want to look at for just a few minutes, and I'll let you go. First of all, in verses 1 through 3 and verse 11, we find the scattering of the Jews. For the Jews, my friend, were scattered into the world. Look at our verses again. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Verse 11 again, I describes. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. How behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." Now listen to me. When Christ was here on this earth and the day of his crucifixion, you find in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, as Jesus was standing before Pilate, and then Pilate brings him before the people and offers either Barabbas or Jesus, and they choose Barabbas, and they want Christ crucified. Now listen what the Bible said in John 19 and verse 14 and 15. "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar." We find that the religious Jews rejected Christ on that day. We also find in the book of Acts that after the early days of the church, that we find that the Jew is no longer the emphasis, but Paul is raised up to be that and deliver the gospel out to the Gentile world. And I'm glad that God included Gentiles. I am. Brother Paul took the gospel out to the Gentile nations. But we find that the Jew as a nation had rejected their king, the Lord Jesus. Now hear me. Because of that, they are scattered throughout the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. When they were scattered, it fulfilled prophecy. In Matthew 24, and I'm going to take my time and preach just a while, because you better understand where we're living at. When I say Jesus is soon coming, I'm not beating the wind. Amen. Israel is the prophetic clock. They are where you better be looking at in this old world, because I can show you in the Old Testament that Jerusalem is the navel of the world. That's what the Bible said. And by the way, life for a baby in the womb comes through that umbilical cord, and life came through Jerusalem by Christ and his sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection. That's where eternal life came from. Here's what Jesus said the night before he was betrayed and the day of crucifixion. They're at the Temple Mount, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be overthrown or be thrown down. So we find that even Jesus had prophesied that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed and the Jews would be scattered into the four corners of the world. Now, the graves that is mentioned in Ezekiel 37 are the Gentile nations. Because the Jews in 70 AD, when Titus and his Roman legion came into Jerusalem, they destroyed everything, burnt the temple, and crucified thousands of millions of Jews in that day of destruction. The Bible tells us also in Isaiah 64 and verses 10 and 11, he said, thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation, our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised thee is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. The Bible prophesied that Israel would be destroyed, would be scattered, that the temple destroyed and burned, and it happened 70 AD. Now hear me right here. Somebody said, what's the big deal about that? Well, they're the only nation in the world that it ever ceased to be, and God raised them back up. Are you listening to me? Hey, friend, other nations have gone down never to return. God scattered them into the world. The Jews were scattered throughout the world. We see they're scattered. But also in verse 11, we find a little bit about the suffering of the Jews, because they said, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. Why? The Jew has suffered persecution more than any other people in all the world. I don't care who they are. The Jew has suffered more than any other people. Amen. Hey, I say to you right here, the Bible prophesied in the book of Jeremiah. I thought about these verses in Jeremiah. The Bible speaks about in verse chapter 26, in chapter 26 and verse number 18, talking about the land itself. He said, Micah the Moreshite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. The land was totally destroyed under the Roman armies, and the Jews are scattered, so the land suffered, but the people suffered. Again, I can't stress this enough to you, how bad that the Jewish people have suffered down through the years. I want to read something in the book of Amos. And you just hang with me. This ain't the normal glory preaching, but you'll get some help. Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command, I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as a corn is sifted in a seed, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Now, God allowed the Jew to suffer. They rejected Christ, and they have suffered immensely for it. But listen to me. They're suffering under Titus, And I talked about you, I just talked about a moment ago, how that when Titus destroyed the city, there was about 1.2 million Jews crucified. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of crosses. They suffered under the Roman Empire, but can I remind you, in the days of the Second World War, 6 million of them suffered under Hitler. He killed 6 million Jews. Now look up here. I could care less about revisionists, but I will say this. They don't even believe in the Holocaust. They want you to believe it didn't really happen. It did happen. Hitler put millions of Jews to death. Hey, that's one reason he died too, I'll tell you that. You don't mess with God's chosen people. You better really grab that in your heart. They are God's chosen people. Yes, they're in blindness. Yes, they've been set aside. But according to Romans 11, they're going to be brought back in. Amen. But they have suffered immensely in this world. But here's where I want to camp a while. Number three, there is the sovereign summons of the Jew. For we find in verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and ye shall live. I will lay some news upon you, ye, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you, and skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinews of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there is no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesying the four winds. And we find the story in this valley, this vision. These bones are coming together. Then he's to prophesy through the four winds. Breath comes in. Then verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You say, preach, what's the big deal about all this today? Here it is. God, after centuries of the Jews being scattered, began to summon them back to the land of Israel. Now, I'm going to major in verse 7 for a while, so look at it. Now, before I do, let me say this to you. There is a crowd known as amillennialists. They do not believe in the millennial reign of Christ. They just don't read their Bible right. Amen. Because there will be a millennial reign. Christ will rule one day on the earth. That's right. But the Jew is not cut off forever. You hear me? They are set aside, according to Romans 9, 10, 11, yes. But they will be brought back. And that began. And it's going on now. The Jew in their heart feels a pull to go back to the land of Israel. What is that, preacher? That is a divine summons of God in their heart. That's what that is. Now, someone said, well, is God through with the Jew? No, God's not through with the Jew. Now, matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 137, verse 5 and 6, God said to Israel, if I forget the old Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. God's not forgot the Jew. He's not forgot him. Well, we find in our verse that when Ezekiel began to prophesy, the first thing, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, listen, there was a noise. A noise. Now, some say, "Brother, that ain't what big, hey, here's your noise." Because remember now, the Jew for centuries have been scattered throughout the known world. But in the 17th century, now I had somebody attack me over being a pre-tribulationist years ago and said pre-tribulation rapture is a new doctrine, a 19th century, early 20th century doctrine. They ain't read enough books. Amen. Because here's what happened in the 17th century. I'm saying there was a noise, no country, no homeland at the time, but a noise about it. Thomas Brightman in the 17th century, in his exposition of Revelation chapter 15, verse 12, listen to what he said. Now, Israel ain't even a country right now. He said this, what? Shall the Jews return to Jerusalem again? There is nothing more certain. The prophets do everywhere confirm it. That's the noise that began going on. There's a no. The Jews ain't even been thought about by most folks, but God remembered them. Hey, he began to let people know it's going to happen. They're coming back. Hey, also, listen to this, one of our own in our early American history, Roger Williams, listen to this, the great spokesman for religious liberty and the founder of Rhode Island was an ardent believer in the restoration of Israel. What about that? Then more noise into the 18th century. John Adams, our second president, in a letter to Major Mordecai Emanuel said, I really wish the Jews again in Judea an independent nation. 18th century, a noise. Thomas Weatherby called for the emancipation of the Jews in the 18th century and for the restoration of the Jewish commonwealth in Palestine. Then in the 19th century, listen, I'm talking about a noise. It's being noise that something's going to happen. All right, Lord Shaftesbury appealed to Queen Victoria in the Times of London for Israel's restoration. That's the 19th century. Others of that time began to beg for the British Empire had to do something. Well, so we hear, then it said this, look at verse 7 also. And behold, a shaking. When did that happen, preacher? In 1917. What happened in 1917, preacher? A thing called the Balfour Declaration. That was at there in the time of the First World War, the Balfour Declaration, which is a solemnly promise, now listen to this, to assist the Jews to secure a national home in Palestine. Now, that shook the world up. Matter of fact, they got in all kinds of uproars over this Balfour Declaration. But it was a shaking event, all right? Hey, the First World War, the British Empire began to occupy Palestine. Before that was the Turks. Interesting, they come back up now in the news. Just think about that a little bit. But then we find out that it, also in verse 7, oh, there's a shaking. That's the Balfour Declaration. But listen, bones came together. For the Bible said, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When did that happen, preacher? May 14th, 1948, after centuries of not existing, Israel became a nation again. The Star of David was finally flown again in the nation of Israel. What's going on, preacher? God's prophetic clock, and she's a running wide open. You say, preacher, why are you even dealing with all this morning? Because you better understand something. Jesus is coming, and all of our shenanigans, all of our laziness of not serving God, and all of our running around our feelings on our shoulders and being mad at this and mad at that one, being more interested in political parties than we are the things of God. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's going to come and find a lot of people unprepared, even among the church. Now, I'm going to say this. Listen to me. Dr. J. Harold Smith, in his heyday, preached very often. Now, Dr. Smith, yes, he was a Southern Baptist, but he believed that barely 30% of Baptists were saved. than Jehiel said. And I can't agree with him. Because you can't act and do like folk do and be saved. You see, a saved person can't get by with nothing. You're not going to walk away unscathed like, oh, no big deal. No. God deals with his children. Amen? And because of that, that's why I thunder on salvation so much. Because people come to our church time and time again lost. They need to be born again. The only people going to the rapture of the church are those who are saved by the grace of God. That's it. Nobody else is going. Amen. And by looking just at the nation of Israel and Scripture, we know the coming Lord's real close. I'm not a date setter. I wouldn't dare do that. Anybody's ever done that, God's made a monkey out of them. There was a book out. Some of you are old enough to remember this. Maybe you've read enough stuff. 88 Reasons the Lord Coming in 88. You could probably get it for nothing at the bookstore now. Amen. Why somebody tried to set a date for the coming of the Lord? You can't do that. But I can tell you this, according to that scripture, and the events of our world are adding up to the scripture. And I worded that right. They're adding up to the scripture. The Lord's soon coming. Now here's what I want to ask you. Are you really saved? Are you ready to meet God? Number two, if you are saved, are you living for him? Amen. Because we're going to stand before him one day. Amen. Yes, sir. We're going to give an account for our works, not our sin, but our works. Big difference. Our sin was judged at Calvary, we that are saved. But our works are going into judgment, what we did for him. Amen. And I want a crown, don't you? I want to have something to lay at his feet one day. Well, with all this knowledge, then we should be busy for the Lord. The Lord is soon coming. Now, for some people, you preach on prophecy in our day, it means nothing to them. They just shrug it off. You've watched all of Hollywood stuff, talks about Armageddon and aliens and everything else. Therefore, you are so desensitized, it means nothing to you. But you better get back to what this Bible says. Amen. This Bible let us know before it ever happened, Israel will be a nation again. She did. She's there today. And by the way, they're not going to get rid of her. They're not going to get rid of her. Matter of fact, according to the book of Daniel, you listening to me? According to the book of Daniel, what starts the tribulation period is not the rapture, but is a sign of an agreement between the Antichrist and the Jew. That's when tribulation starts. So however long between the rapture that is, I have no idea, nor does anybody else. But I can tell you this, that they'll be in the news the rest of your life because they're the ones God's going to deal with one day. Amen. Hey, so understand the day, and I'm done, that the Lord's coming. How do you want to be found? How do you want him to find you? You want to be on fire for God, shouting the victory, being a worker in the field of God? Or will you be found lost? Or will you be found saved, but yet unconcerned and uninvolved in the work? Oh, friend, Jesus is coming. Will you be ready when he returns? Hey, and by the way, that's between you and God. You don't know about it. There's only one person in this building that I am 100% sure saved, and he's standing in this pulpit. Because I can't see your heart. Amen? But if you're ready and you're serving God, when he comes, you're going to be real glad when Jesus comes. I mean this, and you look at me, and we're going to start the invitation. If he had come today, there ain't nothing could more excite me than that. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm tired of seeing what sin's doing to people's lives. Tired of seeing what's going on in this old world. I'm ready to get out of here. And I'm getting out when the Lord comes. Amen. There are people right here today that will not see death. You think about that. We're going to get changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hey, he's coming. The Lord's coming. Are you ready? Father, take a very interesting passage of scripture to my heart. Seal it to the hearts of your people. Lord, I've tried in declaring truth this morning, and I pray you'd take the message, and may it so grip some sinner's heart they'd understand they ain't got time. The Lord Jesus is coming, and except they get born again, they'd be left. Lord, help us that are saved to be serving you when you come. And all you do, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've done my best to preach what God put on my heart. And I wonder this morning, is there someone here being honest before the Lord, honest with yourself, and saying, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved. Please remember me in prayer. We're not going to embarrass you. We ain't going to drag you down. I won't pray for you. See that hand. Somebody else, see that young hand. Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. For you that are saved, just a moment. Is there someone among us who would raise hand, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not serving the Lord like I ought to be. And God's touched my heart. Amen. 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 I'm not serving the Lord like I ought to. Pray for me, preacher. I want us to stand while we sing a verse of invitation. The altar's open if you'll come. Maybe you're burdened about somebody lost. I'd come pray for them. Whatever the case, whatever's upon your heart, will you do business with the Lord around an old-fashioned altar today? Jesus is coming again while we sing.